I am the Lord, thy God, is the title of today's meditation, taken from Leviticus chapter 19 and verses 1 to 37. Matthew Henry, he observed well when he said, Moses is ordered to deliver the summary of the laws to all the congregation of the children of Israel. What we would see, or what we have seen in this chapter, is a summary of the Ten Commandments, summary of the laws that God has given to the Jews in order that they may protect themselves, so that they will be a people holy unto the Lord. Here it is given not only to Aaron and his sons, but to all the people, for they were all concerned to know what is their duty. And so the Lord wants us to know, and we are required to know what we are to do. God wants us to know, because, you know, from the time you wake up till the time you go to sleep, you have to make many decisions, you have to do many things, and you have to answer ultimately to your God. We have to answer to our God. And therefore, the Lord says that He is the Lord, our God. And therefore, by His authority, He commands us what we are to do, in order that we may be protected and we may learn what to do that would bring honor and glory to His name, what to do that would bring peace and joy and comfort to our own hearts. Now, why is it that the world is so miserable? Why is that the world is so weary? Why is life so wearisome to so many? Why are we unhappy? Why ought we to be unhappy? We ought not to be. For the people of God, He provided for us these statutes. So Matthew Henry says, even in the darker ages of the law, that religion could not be of God which boasted of ignorance as his mother. In other words, you know, we must not be ignorant of the laws of God. You know, one can say, I be a Christian, and you take time to learn the fundamentals, the basics of the faith, and after you are baptized, that's it. You consider yourself graduated, right, as a Christian, but this is very, very far away from the truth, because that is only the beginning of your Christian life, your walk with God. And how can we walk with God except we are to know the will of God, the way by which God would want us to live? And so Moses must make known, Matthew Henry says, God's statutes to all the congregation and proclaim them through the camp. This was what he was doing. The laws of God must be rehearsed and it must be repeated. So you see him speaking of these same laws, but in different ways, with different emphasis, with different judgments, looking at different aspects of that same law. And why is it so important? Because life is multifaceted, many areas. So each commandment, each law covers many aspects, various scenarios of life, very broad. And therefore, it is to be the laws is to be expounded, the law is to be placed in the breadth of it, broad enough so that it covers every area of our practical life or our Christian life. So there was one writer who says, teach them diligently. The word there means, the Hebrew word there means to sharpen them. Sharpen them. So that they may pierce deep into their hearts. In other words, God's law must pierce deep into our hearts, you know. That means it must have an impact on our lives. So that, you know, we must not stagnate in our Christian life. And we must not allow our Christian life to stagnate because we have not been listening to the laws of God and growing in the process of sanctification and in holiness. And so here, the Lord is saying to us, this metaphor signifies the manner of instructing them. Right? When they are when they are sitting down, when they are waking up, right? This is how we are to instruct our children in every way they go. Right? So we are not talking about quality time per se, but we are talking about quantity time. In other words, you ought to be there for them. And so we are speaking about this teaching, right, this metaphor that signifies the manner of instructing them, that is to do, that is to be done diligently, earnestly, frequently, distinctly, and dexterously, with skill, so that it will make an impact in their life, so that when they begin life, they know what to watch out for, what are the things to, what are the dangers that they are to watch out for, what are the temptations that would come, and how are they to have victory. So these are taught to the people of God. In these verses, it is required that Israel be a holy people, Matthew Henry says, because the God of Israel is a holy God, there being distinguished from all other people by peculiar laws and customs, was intended to teach them a real separation from the world and the flesh, and an entire devotedness to God. So you realize that from what we saw in last week in chapter 18, right, to chapter 19, the emphasis was that the people of God are a people separated from the customs, the laws, the ways of the Canaanites. Very distinct, very different. And so the Lord says that there is a real separation from the world and the flesh. And these laws are taught so that we may distinctly know the separation. So that we may distinctly know the separation. And this is now what we said, the law of Christ. That the Lord brings it to us that we may be obedient to it. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Right, you remember last year we studied the book of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, and Peter says in 1st Peter 1, 15 to 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, all manner of life, all aspects of life. And so when the Lord gave these laws, the laws were given so that the people of God may be aware His will over every area of their life. There's no area that is not that the Lord is not concerned about. There's no area in your life that He does not expect you to surrender to His will. And so the Lord says to us that we are to know the truth, for the truth will sanctify us. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we need to take time to read, take time to meditate, take time to think. So if your life is very busy as in, you know, you have no time to read God's word, you have no time to meditate upon God's word, you are moving from one activity to another, you are making one decision to another without regard to what the will of God may be, then may I say you are living very precariously. You are living very precariously. The Lord is saying to us that we are to, well, you may say, go against the grind of this rat race of this society. Not the norm. You cannot follow the norm. You'll be overwhelmed. But the Lord says to us, sanctify them through thy truth. So the word of God does make us holy when we are rehearsing it in our hearts, right? Remembering it in our mind, and applying it to our lives. So God is saying to us that we are to take time. So when we do so, you realize as you meditate upon the laws of God, right, you realize your own sinfulness. You realize your own need of God, of your Savior. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, so that we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may be redeemed from our crookedness and be purified to be a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. Do the things that would impact other people's life for eternity, impact other people's life for good for eternity. So you see here, right, not just the ceremonial laws, precepts, but also the moral ones. So Spence, he observed when he looked at this chapter, he says, after viewing practical holiness in secret things, verse 18, you remember last week we saw that, right? The Holy Spirit urges us to view this subject in public things. It is obvious that this chapter consists of practical holiness as stipulated very completely between verse 1 and verse 37. Let us note this spiritual unit of this chapter. So you see how well it is, it flows in our hearts as we read it, right? Verse by verse, as you read it, you'll find that the instruction comes and it jots your mind to a different aspect of your life. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1 says, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And therefore ye shall observe all the statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. So the Lord says to them, there are some things that we must not do. Right? One of them here is said that is to making of imprints on your body. Right? Should you make imprints on your body? tattoos? Should you make tattoos on your body? Well, the law of God here prohibits, right? Verse 28, it says, "Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." So our body is sacred unto the Lord, belongs to the Lord, right? "Therefore ye shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord." And so Spence says, one would wonder that when some of the lighter matters of the law are greatly enlarged upon, many of the weightier matters are put into little compass. Diverse of a single verses of this chapter contain whole laws concerning judgment and mercy. In other words, the way by which the laws are expounded, it is a summary, and yet it is a very detailed look. So it zooms in and it zooms out, so that our minds will be focused how it is to help our lives, right? So the Spirit of God is able to put together all these laws, all these judgments, all these statutes in a very appropriate way, so that it will cover every aspect of life by which we are able to learn, right? So that it may manifest in every man's conscience, man's own thoughts are able to, well, judge themselves by them. And the Lord wants us to see. So Matthew Henry makes a very good summary of this chapter when he puts it this way. He says, concerning the peculiar laws to the Jews, verse 4 to 8, concerning their peace offerings, verse 9 to 10, gleanings of their fields. When they glean their field, they are not to glean everything. They are to leave something behind, so that the poor, the strangers, may be able to partake of what God has bestowed upon the person. Right? So he's saying that that God has given you enough, more than you need. Right? So here is saying to us that he has blessed you so that your overflowing cup may overflow, right, to the people around you. So here he says, don't glean everything. Against mixtures of their cattle, seed and cloth. So he says that when they are not to intermingle, mixed breed of the animal, right? And in the field they are not to mix their crops, right? When you plant one crop, it's one crop, another crop is another crop. Don't mix them. The Lord has a purpose to it, so that, you know, in the harvest is distinct. You're harvesting wheat, you're harvesting wheat. Okay? Not something else. And cloth, right? Linen and cotton. Concerning their trees, right? When they plant the trees, what did the Lord say? 3 years, the fruit is considered uncircumcised. 4th year, 5th year, you may partake of them. You know what he's saying? That let the tree grow. You know, do not pluck the first fruit when it's in its infancy. 3 years, allow it to mature, so that when it does so, and it's fruiting well, then harvest it. So, as you think about it, Right? It causes us to think why the Lord gives these laws. Oftentimes we cannot explain it with our own understanding, with our own logic, but we can obey it. Okay? Of course, when we think about it, it makes sense. We understand. And God gives us a mind to think, to consider, right, the holy things, and He gives us the Spirit of God to understand, right, why He does certain things. Again, some superstitious usages, verses 26 to 28, right, here is given to us. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood. Ye shall not round the corners of your head, corners of your beard, make cuttings of the flesh of the dead, and printings on your body. And most of these precepts are binding on us, and they are expositions of the Ten Commandments. And here is given to us a summary. Yeah? Verse 2 says, "Be ye holy." Be ye holy. And the second verse, or the second table, says that thou shalt love thy neighbor, and to answer the question, who is my neighbor? So here, verse 2 says, be ye holy, and verse 18, that's the first table. Matthew Henry helps us to summarize. He says, that's the first table, right, our duty toward God. And the second table, our duty toward men, thou shalt love thy neighbor. And an answer to the question, who is my neighbor? Verse 33 and verse 34. So the first commandment implied, in which is often repeated here, I'm your God. And here is a prohibition of enchantment, witchcraft, which make a god of the devil. So the Lord says to us that no feng shui. Feng shui, no. Don't indulge yourself in this. Enchantment, witchcraft, to make a god of the devil. Idolatry against second commandment is forbidden. So this is what the people of the land would do, right? They will have many gods. And you are to have nothing to do with them. Right? Your neighbor may place their god outside their house. Right? If you go to our flats here, you would be able to see, right, out of maybe 10 families, maybe 6 families, you would see some kind of a deity, some kind of a worship. Some kind of idol. Well, this is the land that we live in. But the Lord tells us that He prohibits us, right, from any of this worship. Verse 12, the profaning of God's name, the profaning of God's name. Ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Verse 12 says, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord, the Lord says. And the fourth commandment, Sabbath sanctification, right, is emphasized here. Right. And children are to honor their parents. Verse 3 says, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. And the aged, verse 32, is given there. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. So here there are three thoughts that are given there. In Israel, especially, the Lord tells them that they are to obey their parents, those who are older, those who would teach them the things of God, they are to honor. And here is also taught how we are to be careful of hatred and revenge. That's forbidden. That's in the sixth commandment. Then in the seventh commandment, adultery, verses 20 to 22, and whoredom, verse 29. And the eighth commandment, justice is required in judgment. Theft is forbidden, verse 11. Fraud, withholding dues, verse 13. False weights, verse 35 to 36. Now, you notice that these are very pertinent, you know. If you are working in the working and you know you are required to deal business with others, the Lord says deal honestly, do not use false weights, do not withhold dues, do not defraud, or do not practice fraud, right? Do not cheat, in other words. Okay, lying, slandering, tale-bearing, false witness-bearing. Be very, very careful. So we here is taught to us to be very few in our words. Right? Be very careful. The tenth commandment, laying a restraint upon the heart, so does that thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Here is a solemn charge to observe all these statutes, verse 37. And here is a solemn charge to observe all these statutes. Now, these are the things which need not much help for understanding of them. Right? Do you find difficulty understanding them? Not so difficult to understand, right? The laws of God. Quite straightforward, quite plain. What is our problem? Our problem is that we need God and His mercy, the Spirit of God, that we may have His grace to obey them for our good, for our spiritual protection, progress. So here the Lord says that we are to have a good understanding of all those that do these commandments. In other words, we are to be watchful. There is to be a constant care to observe these laws. Right? And how can we know them? Well, if you don't take time to study them, how do you know? How can we know? Right? If we don't take time this morning, if this morning we do not take time to come and study, then we would not know. Right? But because God has allowed us to have time, right, given us the time, and also that we are willing to make the effort. We are willing to devote the time, we are willing to make the effort, we are willing to dwell in the things of God, dwell in the holy things, right, and we pray that God will grant us understanding. God will grant us His grace to follow, to obey, that we may indeed have the strength to live our own life and to also help our people, right? Our people around us, our children, our grandchildren. May God may grant us the grace to follow and to share the goodness of God. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy good laws, and I pray that Thou would be gracious to grant Thy people the strength to obey. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.